run to me here, and I'm going to tell you a secret about her. Today, all round today, it's her 40th birthday with Baba. And 30 years in the center.
Thank you.
And I'm sure she's embarrassed on telling you this.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Charlie Bhai, for a wonderful sharing. First of all, congratulations to you on once again on celebrating Golden Jubilee in Gyan. So it's truly a beautiful milestone, right? So 50 years of learning, serving and bestowing. So can we explore today's topic a little more with a few questions? From what you just shared, I mean, you said that there is this long-term addiction to limited vision, right? That's really powerful. And why and how do we get addicted to limited vision? And how to become aware of it and come out of it?
Gosh, where to start? But my sense of observing myself is that the biggest obstacle, you know, I often think there's four visions on the soul. One is the world. We all get that, judged and labeled in a second. Secondly, it's other people. And we all have the experience of negative and critical vision. But the third vision is the vision on myself. And often, as BKs, when someone doesn't like me or rejects me, it's so hurtful. But I don't think that vision is anything compared to the vision I have on myself, actually. And the nature of body consciousness is I put myself in this box of limitation of what I'm not rather than who I am. And that's where I think this whole life is stepping out of this limited vision and stepping into Baba's vision. That's the journey, actually. And it's I use that word because it's such an addiction. I know Baba says you're this, you're the bestower, you're this, you're that. He gives us so many wonderful titles and we repeat them. But do I really genuinely feel them? Or do I remain stuck in that place of self-limitation of what I'm not, what I can't do, that I'm... And really to have the courage to step out of this, because I'm familiar with that. That's who I am for such a long time, to step and accept Baba saying, you are the angel, you are the bestower. Sometimes I feel I have ego, you know, the soul feels I have a lot of ego thinking that, but actually Baba's vision is the true vision, my vision is the false vision.
And when I step out of that limited vision, of course, I'm allowing Baba to love me.
That's right, yes.
Beautiful. And as a bestower, if you are always giving, won't that drain you? And as a bestower, how should I fill myself? And how can I keep myself full so that I can bestow continuously? That is, what inner shift helps me move from effortful giving to natural, effortless bestower?
well, I think all of us, it depends where you bestow from, and that's the thing, because, you know, in the world today, what's the language? Burnout, you know? And a lot of people working in the caring professions, it's a it's a common term, isn't it? Oh, I feel burnt out. I remember one sister in Australia that I met, a person, she wasn't with Baba, but she was a social worker, and I asked her, and she said, why did she come? She said, I have compassion burnout. No. She said, I just can't do it anymore. It's just because I think when I do it for me, you know, I have to give, I have to support. It's just, I can feel so exhausted, so drained, so depleted. And the secret in this life is really, really to give really, it's a natural expression. I don't have even the consciousness I'm giving, I'm serving in a way. It's just, it's the way I express my relationship with Baba. It's a natural consequence. And then you feel even light and you get the blessings from the hearts, even when you may be busy, busy, busy all the day. Those blessings keep you light and happy. Who heard Daddy Jenki say that her formula is something like, you know, her progress is 5% her effort, 45% Baba's help, and like 50% the blessing, something like that. Yeah. I think I've got the formula wrong. But in other words, it's like really just those blessings just keep the soul very light. And if I'm feeling drained and tired, I've got to really go deep and think. I've been through that many times. And deep and think, where am I coming from? Am I still sort of, I'm serving you? It sort of has a slight bit of arrogance to it, doesn't it? Like, I'm okay and I'm helping you who are not okay. You know, like, no, I think it has to be really a natural expression.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. And in this life at the present time, sometimes situations or even people are, they can be quite challenging.
Really? Has anyone else had that experience?
Yes, all of us. And what helps us remain a best doer in those moments without losing our inner peace or the inner stability?
practice over a long period of time, because you know, I think for me at the moment, probably my main attention is to be detached, but detached according to Baba's detachment, which I think is to be uninfluenced. And I've come to the conclusion that everything in this life should be natural. And when I really have one Baba, I'm lost in one Baba, there's a natural detachment. And I found in all the daddies that, you know, they were so loving, so close, so caring, but so detached at the same time. Because I think when you're lost in Baba, it pulls you sort of beyond. It's a natural consequence. And I've just found the more I've been in Gyan, the more sort of a part of the service team, etc., I've slowly felt less and less influenced by a lot of the ups and downs, the inevitable ups and downs. It's almost like we all have to experience that stuff to move into that stage. It's a part of the journey. Mm-hmm. And of course, it affects you deeply sometimes and takes over your mind for days sometimes, situations or responses. And I found also the more you're engaged in service, you don't even have time to overthink, overprocess a situation and go into that self-absorption sort of place where you go too deeply into it. So I think in a way we have to learn from it, understand, be prepared for the next time and move on. You know, it's like you have to bounce back really quickly. But I remember once Baba said, children, if you don't become detached now, you'll have to become detached by compulsion. The drama's going to push us. And that's, I really feel, a part of being the bestower is being detached. Because if we're influenced by the suffering too, we can see it, but if I'm influenced, I can't really serve in that way. And it's sort of, you know, it's not that I lack mercy or compassion, I can still see it, but I know that if I absorb it, I'm less effective in giving or being an instrument to serve.
You all have that experience that detachment is the greatest armor, you know, keeping me unaffected. Yeah, that's a beautiful insight. And, you know, you mentioned one of the qualities of the bestower is having merciful heart. And you also talked about mercy on the self. As of course Baba says that have mercy for others, but first have mercy on yourself. And you also touched that point of you shared about letting go of the critical thinking about the self you know, etc. I also am thinking about another aspect of the self-compassion or self-care. I remember once during a big seva program in India, we were all involved in the service, very much busy in multitasks, and I was also totally engrossed in one or two departments, and I skipped meals and sleep, and at one point I got severe headache and my body was very tired, and at that moment one sweet innocent Mataji came to me and she said, "Sister, give me powerful drishti." You know, so I just looked at her, not giving drishti, and then I realized, okay, she is there in front of me. She wanted to take drishti. So I gave her drishti. And then after that, I almost dropped off. So Charlie Bhai, my question is, how important is self-care, both physical and mental, in becoming a bestower? And in your journey for over many years, how have you balanced inner care and also external care of your body so that you can continue to serve and bestow?
I think, you know, we all have our own method, but, you know, we all go through periods in this life where we feel a bit, you know, rough periods, and really the thing that works for me is just not take myself too seriously or get too intense or serious, and I find me love is the great sort of balm, soothing.
Love
balm. Just to sit in front of Baba and let Baba love me, and I just find you cool down, and in your perspective, if your perspective has been distorted by a person or a situation, it comes back. But what I've learned is self-respect in this case is so important, because if you don't have self-respect, you push yourself and you feel you have to fulfill the expectations of seniors or certain others. So you actually are very sort of self-destructive, trying to please others in that way. And I think a part of self-respect is knowing my own boundaries and what I need to do to keep myself happy. Because in a way, that's the ultimate art of life, isn't it? To live with all the personalities and situations and keep myself okay and happy. But one thing I try to do is be kind to myself. You know, sometimes we don't achieve what we want. Sometimes we make a mistake. And some, you know, the inner language can be so self-critical and so putting down. And that, you know, it's that self-abuse or something when I go through and I haven't done what I thought I should, or people have given me feedback. And I just try, well, I'm on a journey. I'm learning. I'm not there yet. And just to be a bit kind, you know, to myself. I remember once Daddy Janki asked me, because she knows my journey, and she said, "Do you ever remember the past? You know, things that have happened?" And I said, "Daddy, I have a selective memory." And really, I think I do. You know, you edit out a lot of things that have happened, and that's a part of being kind, because sometimes we revisit something which was just, you know, I really would prefer not to go, you know, it just gives me a lot of sorrow if we go back to those places. So I think being kind to the self is really deep spirituality. We are all on this journey. Just to be sitting in this hall, we should be so proud of ourselves that I've had the courage to step into this life to transform myself. Everyone wants a better world, but the Brahmins are the ones who are changing themselves to make it happen. So I think, you know, really we should bring it all into perspective, because sometimes our expectations of ourselves, we can never fulfill those expectations. It's too high.
What about caring for this instrument, body? Do you eat more aloo parathas, which is your favorite when you come to India, or do you have?
I've been eating too many recently, but I think I make sure I get enough sleep. I think that's really important. And once again, I think I don't sort of, I don't try to be too self-absorbed, you know. Just relax a bit, take things easy, things happen. Yeah, I think I've just become a more easygoing about life. And to me, that's looking after yourself. I have to eat well, rest well, all those sorts of things, yeah. Not push myself, yeah. Definitely.
Thank you. And you also, when you were sharing, you reminded Baba's words. Like Baba says, when someone showers insults on you, you shower flowers on them. So in your journey, have you experienced situations like that? Just yes or no?
Yes.
And all of you? Yes? Okay.
That was a no somewhere.
So what helped you to respond in that way? You know, how Baba wants us to do. And what's, showering flowers. What's your invisible flower basket? You know, as a senior instrument, taking care of a big region, of course, sometimes people may oppose you or have negative feelings. Normally, our first reaction is to respond in the same way, and that can be a challenge for anyone. So I'm sure you may have, you said yes, that you have faced situations like this. So could you please share with us how you dealt with such people? Any interesting story?
Once I was, I just moved in, I think it was 1980, from Melbourne to Sydney. I was first in Melbourne. And I was asked to move to Sydney. And when I got to Sydney, there was a Pandav Bhavan, a house with some brothers staying there. And there was a bit of a problem there, and they weren't very happy with me. And I came to Madhuban. We had a meeting in the history hall. And when it was my turn, I sat in front of Baba, and Baba gave me long drishti. And then Baba said to me, "Is everyone happy with you?" What should I answer? I didn't answer. And then Baba, this just shows you how wonderful Baba is. He said, "Don't worry, some aren't happy with Baba." And it was just amazing how Baba diffused the feeling that I was having. And then Baba went on to explain why. Some think that Baba met this one for 10 minutes and me for only 3 minutes, and Baba gave this one a better blessing. But in a way, I think that's just helped me just, you know, sometimes you want to be perfect for everybody, and yet sometimes, you know, there's karmic accounts. And for me, I think I just have to remain really knowledgeful and not become too emotional, because I think the greatest pain or challenge for most of us is to be rejected. I feel the human spirit needs love, belonging, care, and if someone just rejects you or yells at you or doesn't speak to you, then usually that has a massive impact. You know, and I experienced someone who did that for years, you know, and at first it would affect me so much. But I realized it was one of the best learnings for me over time, because I began to think, who's really accepting this criticism or insult? It's my old self, it's my ego self.
And body conscious self.
It's my, yeah, my only, and I had this saying for myself, only my ego accepts sorrow. So each time I was feeling, I was thinking, I'm not self-conscious, I'm not really in that right space. So, and after a while I really changed. I think I stopped taking so much, and now I'm quite close to that person. And I think it's like a challenge we all have to go through. to get over this habit of taking things so personally sometimes. Because what I've realized also that we all come under the influence of our past story, our sanskaras, and often we project it on somebody in front. And that can be a partner, a parent, an instrument in a center or something. So we shouldn't take it so personally. Sometimes it is you, and sometimes it's true, some of the things they're saying, and it's like we have to look at ourselves. But at other times also, not to be so, take it so personally that it's sometimes people just have to vent their stuff and their frustration of life.
Oh, wonderful. And you said in your sharing that no matter how people are, you have to, I mean, as a best over, you give the experience of attainments. Could you please elaborate on that?
What?
Give them the experience of attainments.
I think, the language that Baba used, because when I revised the mulis, time and time and time again, Baba kept saying, no matter what someone is like. In other words, we might say, Baba, 99.9% are good, but this person, they're just too much, So we always have an excuse, and yet Baba's trying to take us to, a higher place where... And I think what it means by attainments is just... I often think of my mind as a receptacle of vibrations. Your thoughts and feelings create a whole energy. And I often use the language, it's like your mind has a perfume. And when you're with Baba, it's like you download these vibrations, so the perfume of your mind is full of your experiences that influences people and the atmosphere. It's like a natural attainment. We all know we meet some people and just their presence, you feel light. Who met Daddy Prakashmi and just felt light just without her saying a word? Look, the whole hall has put up their hand. Because it's almost like her sanskaras were so light. And that's sort of her attainment is showering on all of us in that way. And to me, this is the real service, because it's service through who you are, your stage and your relationship with Baba. And that's why I think that being the bestower is really going to take us into our higher stage. It connects me to my who I really am.
And as you said, that it's the natural expression of to Baba.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yes. And of course, we have been talking about the bestower, but I would like to ask about the receiver. What qualities should a receiver have? I remember when I first started staying at the center 3 decades ago, there was a group of young sisters who had come around the same time. And our senior instrument, Ruchi Ben, she had a lot of love and faith on us. And she was very loving and, of course, both loveful and lawful. And few of us experienced her love, that deep love. But some, they couldn't. I mean, they didn't experience that love. And of course, they realized it much later after she left the body. And even I remember one sister said after many years that I didn't fully value what we had when she was with us. So we all receive blessings from Baba, from seniors, but those blessings to truly benefit us. So what should be our state of mind? Because sometimes the bestower is constantly giving, but is it also true that the ability to receive depends on the receiver's state of mind?
Yeah, I think definitely, because it's a lot to do with my sense of self-value and self-respect. Because some receive the love and some receive the law. So we interpret according to our state. So some felt so sustained by the instrument you're talking about, and some listened to the muli and feel Baba is extremely lawful. Some listen to it and feel Baba is so loveful. And that's why this whole journey of rebuilding my sense of self is so important, because we interpret life appropriately. But once I was sitting in front of Baba, and Baba said something to me which created quite a discussion, because Baba gave me a blessing that he said, "You are a soul who doesn't misuse your blessings." And I remember we all started to talk, what did Baba mean? Even I was. And we came to the conclusion really that when Baba gives blessings, it's more like Baba's showing you what you can become. He's showing you that this is where you can reach. When Baba gives you, "You are the ancestor soul, you are the bestower." You know, Baba gives this. But sometimes if I sort of take it on now, as you know, it can become a little bit, I can have a little bit of ego about those sorts of things. So I think you need a lot of humility, don't you? That you accept the feelings from the person, but you have to be really humble and not allow it to really sort of, I don't know, go to your head, so to speak. So the feelings, when someone gives you a blessing, the feelings of love and that you absorb, and that gives you, you know, lovely feelings. But I think you have to be careful that sometimes when people praise you, am I deceived by that? Is it praise or is it really? I think words can be a lot of praising, you know, but feelings are real. They're real blessings when those feelings of love or goodwill or appreciation come from the heart. Yeah.
And also when Baba gives us blessings, and even in one Murli Baba said that it's like a seed and I need to water it. That means there is an effort at the receiver's end, right? The bestower is giving, but to receive that, I have to put some effort. So there is an effort on the receiver's end, right? So,
yeah. Mm. I remember Didi Manmohini once said something like, what's the difference between the Brahma Kumaris and some of the gurus? Because really, she was saying, some of them really are pure souls still. Not many, but a few are really. And she said that the great gurus, some of them who are really still pure, still accept praise. But she said the real purity is that we know that it's really Baba's praise. Mm. Whatever I've become is Baba's praise. And I think that's why I think the daddies became so great, because they were so great and yet so humble, because they attributed everything they were to Baba. And in a way, you know, and genuinely it wasn't lip service. They really felt, whoever I am, Baba's created me. And that deep humility was so engaging, so attractive.
Yeah. Good. So, time is up. So could you please, maybe the last, this can be the last question, I think. So could you please share one simple inner practice that can help us to strengthen the power of bestowing through yoga?
Well, to put a full stop. And that, to me, that's the ultimate state of a knowledgeful soul. A scene comes in front, personalities, emotions, opinions, we all face with it every day. Because I've observed myself that if you over process it, you sort of drain your spiritual strength in a way. You get into that self-absorption of too much over processing and analyzing. And if I can really put a full stop, then it means that I remain close to Baba, and those elevated feelings I get from my relationship with Baba keep me giving rather than absorbing in that sort of. I think I remember once Baba said he went on a tour of the world looking at all the children at Amrit Vela. You know how Baba sometimes says that. And he said the thing lacking was the ability to put a full stop. And I went through a period where I really tried to practice when something happened which would normally get me thinking too much, really trying to put the full stop. And sometimes it's possible. Sometimes, you know, the mind just wants to analyze and go, and it really needs a lot of self-discipline and strength not to over-process, over-analyze. I think it actually makes me weak spiritually, and you come out of that benevolent phase when you do.
Yeah. Putting a full stop. Thank you. So, how was that? So, that was very simple, very practical, and also quite profound. Thank you, Charlie Bhai, for sharing your wisdom and experience with all of us. And of course, we hope we will have many more opportunities to listen and learn from you in the future. Thank you. Om Shanti.